Heavenly Father, we come before you today as your people. We come before you humbled by your awesome power. We are so aware of your almighty hand at work in history. Help us to be aware of your work in our lives tonight and into the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want you to imagine just for a second that you knew how certain things would turn out before you actually went through them. I reckon if that was true for you, it would entirely change the way you experience those things. For example, I want you to imagine just for a sec that you are going for your dream job. You've got an interview Monday morning, and this is for the job that you've been looking for forever. I reckon you'd be pretty nervous and anxious. Anxious that you wouldn't stuff it up and destroy your chances of getting this job. I reckon hard questions that you have no idea how to answer would be really distressing. And if you do go in there and say the wrong thing or, you know, do the wrong thing, it'd be devastating. But imagine how that experience might be different if at the beginning of the interview or before you go into the interview, you knew for certain, 100% guaranteed, that you were getting the job. How might that change your experience of that interview? You know, there'd probably still be some tough questions, but you'd be able to get through them because you know that you've got the job at the end of the interview. You still might be nervous, but your anxiety because the unknown is gone would dry up because you know how the interview is going to end. Well, as we look at the end of Daniel, we're going to see that God shows Daniel how life will ultimately turn out. And this has huge implications for how we should see life. Well, tonight we finish our series in Daniel where we've seen into the world beyond the curtain of reality. Last week, Daniel came face to face with this spiritual reality as an awesome angelic messenger is sent to him to answer his prayers in chapter 10. And chapter 11 and 12, where we are tonight, give us the content of that message. It's a message that dissolves any idea that life will be comfortable for God's people, but it offers an eternal hope that God's people need to cling to. Well, firstly, in chapter 11, it'd be great to have your Bibles open there so you can see where I'm going. In chapter 11, the angel shows Daniel a hostile world. He shows Daniel a hostile world. Chapter 11, we're not going to read it all or go through it in any detail. But chapter 11 charts the titanic power struggle between two superpowers, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And the prophecy is highly detailed. And so for us looking back in history, we can kind of pinpoint who it's talking about. So just to give you a bit of an idea, Alexander the Great, the guy who conquered the known world before he was 30. He's the mighty king in verse 3. And his divided kingdom after he dies becomes the focus of the rest of the chapter. The Seleucids in Syria are the northern kingdom and the Ptolemy dynasty in Egypt is the southern kingdom. That tracks through the whole chapter. But what is important in chapter 11 is what these kingdoms are north and south of. Israel, God's people, where God's people dwell, is blown about in a storm of political power raging between these two kingdoms, and it gets caught up in the bloodshed of the war that happens between them. It's because Israel exists in a hostile world. And yet even in this pretty dark chapter, there are little hints as to who is the real authority behind all these human political movements. There's a repeated phrase, it comes up again and again. Things happen in their appointed time, in verse 27, 29, 35. The actions of these superpowers are ordained. They're known and they're accounted for. God is in control. And the real message of chapter 11 is that no matter how powerful the ruler or how tyrannical the power, it will be brought to its end. Because God is the one who is in control. And it's this almighty sovereign God, as we turn over to chapter 12, who gives Daniel real hope. He gives Daniel real hope. And the real hope that the angel gives Daniel, it's anchored in God's deliverance of his people from the real enemy, death. Have a look at verse 1 in chapter 12. It says, "At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There'll be a time of distress such as not has happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of heaven, of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Well, despite living in the midst of a hostile world, God will save his people. Not even death can prevent God's people having salvation in him, because God gives them eternal life. And this freedom from death brings real and lasting hope for God's people. Daniel 12 is the most explicit and definite promise of resurrection leading to eternal life in the entire Old Testament. Daniel's given a glimpse into the immense scope of God's plan of deliverance for his people. God will save them from death and give them eternal life where they will shine like stars forever and ever. The powerful kings might smash Israel around in chapter 11, but in the end, not even death will be able to prevent God saving his people. While the king in the north, in chapter 11, verse 40 to 45, selfishly reaches for eternal glory for himself, but fails and comes to nothing. In contrast to this, God gives his people eternal life and glory no matter what happens to them. And this is the end of the story. This is the last chapter. This is the resolution, not just of the book, but of life. There might be plot twists and kind of distress along the way, but the end of the story is that God delivers his people by saving them and giving them eternal life. And it's this promise that anchors the real hope and comfort that Daniel 12 offers God's people. Even in the middle of the distress that's coming, God will protect them. And even death cannot separate them from God's love. And this is real hope because it can't be taken away. No matter what is going to happen, God has told his people how life will ultimately end. And that knowledge produces hope through the times of suffering. And this hope is certain and secure. It's one that rests in the power of the Almighty God. It's a hope that knows God takes evil seriously and will deal with it in the end. It's a hope that knows those who are faithful to God will be vindicated by him in the end. And people who have this real hope are strengthened by the confidence that God's good purposes will triumph, so they can have real reason to trust in him. Well, the rest of Daniel 12 is driven by two questions that are generated from this message of hope and comfort. Daniel sees two people on opposite banks of the river, and one of them asks, "When will this happen?" And the answer is this kind of enigmatic 3.5 times, or 1290 days, or 1335 days. And let me tell you, there's been lots of ink spilled trying to unlock the secrets of these numbers, plot them out. But that misses the point. Misses the whole point of what these numbers mean and are showing us. They show us simply that God knows how long it will be. Though it may be an extended period of time, it's a known, accounted for, and limited period that will come to an end. Well, Daniel then asks, or then says that, you know, he doesn't understand in verse 8, which, you know, could be a sentiment that we identify with, and he asks, kind of, what will the end result be? What's going to happen in the end? What's the outcome going to be? And the answer he gets is to seal the scroll that he's writing. It's a command that's repeated from verse 4. And I think instead of meaning, you know, keeping this knowledge as secret or forbidden, I think it means Daniel is commanded to preserve the words of this promise for the rest of time. So when a king wanted to preserve his kind of edict or his acts forevermore, he would have them written and sealed with his kind of sign to ratify and preserve them. We kind of even have a saying that gets this idea. You know, we're saying it's signed, sealed, and delivered, kind of meaning the legal completion of a document. So the angel is commanding Daniel to preserve these words so that God's people will be able to read them until the end of time. God's people will be able to understand his plan for salvation and find real hope in his promised salvation. And finally, Daniel is encouraged by the angel to persevere all the way to the end to enjoy rest and his inheritance and to grab hold of the reality that his real hope promises. So I think chapter 12 produces a question. Should get us to ask, who are the people that will enjoy this real hope of salvation? From verse 2, it's clear that not everyone will be delivered or saved. While some are resurrected to life, everyone else is resurrected to shame and contempt. How do we know which camp we fit into? Well, in the context of Daniel, the ones who are delivered are called the wise, or those who lead others to righteousness. And here in verse 3, it's the wise who will shine like the brightness of heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like stars forever and ever. And I think this describes the same group of people. Those who see things God's way and who trust in him. It's this perspective that leads to their wisdom. Instead of believing the lie of the world to seek glory for ourselves or for themselves, they trust in the Lord and lead others to trust in him as well. In chapter 11, verses 33 to 35, they're mentioned as having suffered so they would be refined and be spotless in the end. The wise don't live comfortable lives, but in the end they are delivered and they're vindicated by God's power. And in Daniel, those who are saved are the people who see things God's way. They trust in him and their whole life is lived in reflection of that knowledge. But in contrast, those who are described as wicked or those who will not enjoy eternal life are those who don't understand in verse 10. It's understanding that separates the wise from the wicked, an understanding of God's eternal perspective in life. That perspective that says our existence is not about ourselves, but about serving God. Well, the glimpse of God's plan of salvation that Daniel has in chapter 12 is seen completely and in reality, concretely in Jesus. Jesus is the culmination of God's work in the world. He's the one who fulfills all of God's promises. It is Jesus in his life, death, and his resurrection that made the salvation from death possible. It's what won it for God's people. His life, death, and resurrection made forgiveness from sin possible. And it made eternal life a concrete reality for anyone who trusts in him. And in the New Testament, what makes you wise or not is how you see Jesus. Ultimately, it's faith in Jesus that determines whether or not you can have the real hope that's given to Daniel in chapter 12. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Real hope given to Daniel in chapter 12 is crystallized in Jesus. Daniel had no knowledge of anyone coming back from the dead. We have that proof. In his death on the cross for us, Jesus made it possible for us to have forgiveness for our sin. And in his resurrection from the dead, he confirms that if we trust in him, that is our future as well, everlasting life. What a hope that is. It's a certainty that no matter what, we are safe, held in the arms of God if we trust in Jesus. That nothing can separate us from him, as we are protected through the hardships of life by his power. Now, I don't want to minimize how tough situations in life can be. When we're betrayed by people we trust, it's devastating. When we feel that God is distant and we're filled with doubt, it's debilitating. And when our lives are touched by death, there are no words that can describe that pain. But the one thing that will pull us through all those things is hope in Jesus. It's our certainty of our eternal destiny grounded in what Jesus has done for us that means we can survive the pain that life throws at us. And so Daniel 12 contains a warning as well as a comfort. It warns us to be wise, to understand that we need to trust God to be saved. It encourages us to reach out for real hope, not to reject God for our own desires, because if we do, Daniel 12 says that we will endure eternal shame and contempt. For us tonight, that means doing business with Jesus. It means asking for his forgiveness and trusting that his death pays the punishment we deserve to pay. And after we do, we can enjoy that real hope that is brought by eternal life, won for us at the cross and confirmed for us in the empty tomb. And having real hope impacts every area of life because it is a living hope. It's a living hope. Peter wrote in the letter of 1 Peter, in chapter 1, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." If you trust in Jesus, you have real hope that is living and active in life because through faith in Jesus, you are saved by God's power and have an imperishable inheritance waiting for you despite the griefs and trials of life. This is the concrete reality of what's only kind of glimpsed in Daniel chapter 12. Well, the impact that this living hope has in our lives is huge, but I want to outline just two things before we finish tonight. The first thing that this living hope impacts life is that it gives us real security in life. No matter what happens to us, nothing can take our salvation away from us if we trust in Jesus. That's so freeing. Life can be brutal sometimes. We might lose our belongings, our home, our job, or family members, our spouses. But the one certainty that we have in life, the one thing that can never be taken away from us, is the hope that we have in the salvation that is to come, won for us at the cross by Jesus. It is that hope that sustains and comforts us and supports us through the brutal moments in life. And it means we don't have to live our lives in worry and despair, kind of anxious as to where we're going to end up. So let me encourage you to know and to treasure God's promises to you in Scripture, because it's how we know what God will do for us and what he's promised for us, and that brings hope. Knowing the Scripture helps us to strengthen our hope in God so that when temptation or trials come, we can stand firm in the hope of the gospel. So a couple of passages, I'm just going to tell you two, but there's so many passages in the Bible that you should just write on the back of your eyelids so that when life kind of beats you around, you can just come to an understanding of who Jesus is and what God has given you. So a couple of passages that you might want to write down in your outline if you've got it there. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Amazing when you are doubting in life to have that written on the back of your eyelids. Or 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 18. The first one was Romans 10 verse 9. The second one is 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 18. And that says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." What a fantastic verse to have in your heart as you walk through life. And there's so many more. I could have gone on for another 20 minutes. Read the scripture. Have that drive your hope. Well, secondly, I think heavenly hope gives us an eternal perspective. When we have real hope in Jesus, we have our eyes lifted up to see the reality of our eternal destiny. God has given us eternal life, so when we find our hope in Him, we will yearn for Jesus to come and take us home. Earthly joys, as good as they can be, just pale into insignificance next to the eternal life that we have in Jesus. And this eternal perspective means that we won't find our identity in this world, but in the life Jesus gives us. However, if you're like me, it's so easy for our vision to kind of drift back down to our feet as we get distracted by the world and the day-to-day, and as we lose sight of the eternal. So I need to confess this to God and allow the hope we have in Jesus to push our eyes back up to see with the eyes of eternity. Well, Daniel was promised real hope when God assured him that not even death would stop him saving his people. So let's find real hope in Jesus' death and resurrection as we ground our faith in the eternal life he offers us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have given us real hope in the gospel of Jesus, that as we see the inheritance that you've kept for us by your power, we can be encouraged to stand firm for you through the trials and temptations of life. We thank you so much that we have a living hope as we are given new birth through the resurrection of Jesus. We pray that you would help us to lift our eyes, to see with the eyes of eternity, and to find real security in the hope that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.